You have experts working for you and give them that ability to give you feedback and to answer those questions for you. Again, that's conceptually is very empowering to staff. I know when I was younger and prior to being a school leader, that's what I expected, just quite honestly, as a professional, that I wanted to be empowered and don't just tell me how to do it.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Brighter Together podcast. My name is Janet Courtney, and my special guest today is Daniel Barton. Daniel is the superintendent at Goodrich ISD in Goodrich, Texas. Daniel, it's so great to have you here today.
It's great to be here. I appreciate you having me.
Absolutely. Tell us what's going on in Goodrich.
In Goodrich, well, we are starting our year in volleyball, of course. We're a small district. We have about 270 kids,
nice.
K through 12 in Goodrich. So we're very small, but we're in the volleyball season. We're celebrating some academic success from this past year. Spreading our narrative, our story about our district. And we're very proud of our district. And I'm proud of the accomplishments that we've made.
So it's September 17th. These podcasts are about 2 months behind. So if you're listening to this in November, that's why he's talking about volleyball. and one of the things that you talked to us before about is your philosophy on servant leadership. I'd love for you to give us some how you manage how as a superintendent, how you run your ship, captain your ship.
Yeah. Well, I think I try to keep things pretty simple in concept, and that is as a servant leader, it is becoming of me to, I think of myself as working for my employees versus the other way around. I'm here to work for teachers, and I tell them that quite frankly, every year, the last slide in my convocation is, you know, it basically states what I want for my staff and my teachers. And one of those things is to always know that we're my position and other school leaders are here for y'all. We're here to work for y'all, you know, whatever address your needs are. So I think that's huge as far as a mindset. And again, it's very a simple concept. But at the same time, it can be very difficult, on some school leaders. I know developmentally in my younger years, it was probably a little more difficult than it is at this point.
I hear you. Yeah, for sure.
Difference in intelligence versus wisdom.
There you go. Yeah. I have a feeling you and I are close to the same age. At least the same generation for sure. So, and it is, it's something where, you know, when you take the mindset of this is, I'm here because, you know, whether you're a Christian or not, it always goes back to that because I'm such a strong Christian, but, serving others, you know, love God, love others, do what you need to do. And when you serve others and they know that they can trust you, that's huge.
Yes. And, you know, the servant leader, you know, I mean, what's the characteristics? You know, empathy and listening skills and humility and selflessness. And to live that beyond to speak it as a leader is much more powerful. And for your people to watch you live and interact that way is much more powerful than any words that you can put out there. And, yeah, I strongly believe that, and I believe my staff and the people that I've been fortunate enough to work around. Hopefully, they see that through my leadership.
Mm-hmm.
And I would also say too, you know, something that I think is worthy to bring up from a servant leadership perspective is that a servant leader knows that. They don't have to have the answers to all the questions. I mean, at the end of the day, your vision should be to come up with a visionary question, and then you empower your employees to answer those. You have experts working for you and give them that ability to give you feedback and to answer those questions for you. Again, that's conceptually is very empowering to staff. I know when I was younger and prior to being a school leader, that's what I expected, just quite honestly, as a professional, that I wanted to be empowered and don't just tell me how to do it. And the other thing about it I think that's important to remember is that, you know, this is 35 years I'm working on right now and 23 in school leadership. And so a lot of the same questions come up depending on what organization you're in. If you've been in previous organizations, or if you're going to develop your vision, your mission, your belief system collaboratively, as we work through those things, a lot of the answers we already have, we know what the end result will be. Mm-hmm. Just from doing it practically in years past. But you don't cheat your employees by giving them the answer. You still need to collaboratively work through with your employees, like I said, whether you know what the outcome will generally be or not. And I'll give you an example. When we work through, I talk a lot about beliefs, because beliefs are how we interact with each other every day in our organization. But if you look at XYZ school district versus ABC school district, when you look at their belief systems, they may state something a little different, but by and large, they're all the same. It's going to be, you're going to respect all your stakeholders. You value instructional time, make decisions collaboratively, provide, positive affirmations, maintain high expectations for all. You know, these are recurring themes, yeah. But again, you don't interject that,
right?
As the leader, mm-hmm. you allow that to organically come about with the group that you're working with, and I think that's something that's difficult sometimes. Mm-hmm. That you really have to take pause and go, I know the answer, but don't reveal it.
Yeah, keep your mouth. That's my hardest thing, is just keeping my mouth shut and giving somebody else the opportunity to speak. Right. Absolutely. Yep. I think this podcast and being a host on it has helped me a lot, because it just is. I don't want to interject. I have in the past. And for those of you that have listened, you've heard me when I should keep my mouth shut. But it's very true. It's so incredibly important. And there is power. There is power in the pause. Right.
For certain.
Yeah. So how did you develop a servant leader? I mean, is it something that from the very, you said, we both said when we were younger, it was probably a little bit harder, but I mean, I've got 31 years, you've got 35 years. How did you get to this place? What was your journey?
Well, I think, the journey starts out with all of us at a younger age. You know, we're hopefully intellectually talented a little bit. But that doesn't generally lead to great leadership. Great leadership is not rooted in that at all. And it takes time. It just takes time and age and wisdom. Like I said, intelligence versus wisdom. Wisdom is much more powerful than intelligence, ultimately, at least in my opinion. But it's years of watching other leaders. And when I was young, I will say I was successful as a leader. But as you get into the workforce and you're working around other professionals that are driven and those type things, your leadership successes at a young age do not actually transfer automatically, I guess to say, because what's the old saying, that nobody cares what you know until they know that you want to listen.
They know that you care, that right?
Know that you care, or know that you listen. So, I think the transformation has been a long journey. I'll say that for certain. And mentorship, I have mentors. I speak to mentors because any success that I've had is certainly due to mentors and mentorship. And I've had some great ones and still have great ones. When you struggle as a leader, it is incumbent to reach out to a mentor and have that network to say, hey, and just be honest and transparent, because we've all been there. We've all been there. We've all spoke when we probably shouldn't have spoken and should have been listening. So it's not a unique issue that I've ever had. I mean, I've talked to people about leadership all the time, quite honestly, and because I think it's very, very important, obviously. And it's important for our school leaders.
Are you struggling to keep speech therapy fully staffed or tired of high turnover? You're not alone. At Lighthouse Therapy, our speech-language pathologists are seasoned professionals, and most of them have over 16 years of school-based experience. They're not just qualified, they're consistent, relational, and results-driven. We offer three flexible delivery models: virtual therapy, hybrid therapy, and in-person therapy. It's speech therapy done right for you and your students. Learn more at lighthouse-therapy.com/brighter together.
Yeah. And it's important, I think, too, as we raise up this next generation, that they understand it, you know, that, I mean, of course, they're young, but understanding and empathy and, you know, certainly this country after the death of Charlie Kirk, we need that so badly right now, you know, it's such a tragedy. And it's only, it's so fresh. It's only 7 days old. 'Cause it's, like I said, it's only September 17th, but just knowing that, they're, talk about a servant leader, right? And somebody who cared and wanted what was best for this country, you know. But just that if we could get that, you know, as we instill more of that into society, and as we, you know, we've grown so much with technology and with things. How is that affecting you guys? I know that the law with the cell phones has, I'm sure, been an issue. I don't know how you guys, how it affected you guys, but just instilling that in our children.
Yeah. I mean, and I'll speak to the technology.
Sure.
Something that I always reflect on and have for quite some time now. Because you know, when I was younger, I was a pretty techie guy. I think we were in the first real techie kind of generation, I guess to say. You know, I still remember the first time I saw a calculator. I believe it was a Uniden in Walmart when I was a young boy, prior to computers. So we've lived all of that, and then we learned a little Basica and Fortran back in the day, and a little database design and. So we've lived through that the beginnings of technology, but where it's led us to today. But something that I always remind people too is the face-to-face communication and the importance of face-to-face communication. Mm-hmm. And even if you're in a Zoom meeting or you know online, turn your camera on.
Yeah.
Turn your camera on. It's 100%. Because that face-to-face interaction surely is much more important, and it's more important to people, and it's more enduring, you know. So like when we got on this while ago, right before we started the podcast, how did we start the conversation? The conversation wasn't professional in nature. Mm-mm. It was about your family, about my what's going on in my world. Mm-hmm. And you miss those things when you rely on technology for communication.
And 1,000%.
I remember when I was a principal, I remember struggling with, it didn't matter how much communication I tried to put out, I would always get back in a survey or something, you need to be a better communicator. And it was very, very frustrating. And it's like, I put it in the newsletter, I email it, I've hung it up, I've put it on announcements, I've done all of these things. And then eventually, come to the realization, technology wasn't the answer. It's the face-to-face communication. So,
and I think it's really important to go back to that and understand that. And, you know, it's a journey that we take as human beings. And I love the fact that you talk about that interpersonal interaction that we have. Because one of the things as a podcast host is just like you want in any other interaction, you want people to be comfortable. You want people to be able to feel like they can have a conversation with you and trust. There is a piece of trust that has to happen. And if you don't have that trust, then it's really hard to have an open and honest dialogue about the things that are happening and about what whatever it is that we want to talk about, right? Yeah. So establishing that rapport and establishing trust with, even for the short amount that we're together, it's really important. But when you talk about servant leadership and what you've been talking about, that trust is crucial.
Yes, for certain. Yeah.
Yeah. So, so you have all of this. How is your school doing? How do you feel like, obviously you have developed a team that is cohesive. So what would you say is your biggest challenge today?
I think our biggest challenge, is to continue the path. I know some of our struggles are the same as any others in the school business in Goodrich, and something that, you know, I'll start and speak to my, you know, I have a great school board. They're amazing.
Nice.
And, you know, great school districts begin with great school boards. There are no great school districts that don't have great school boards. If they have a good school board, then you will end up with a good school.
Mm.
You will never be great. So we definitely have a great school board that has, led the district forward and been supportive. But some of our biggest challenges from the beginning, were, you know, teacher attainment and retention of those mm-hmm. teachers. Mm-hmm. And then of course, ultimately the academic challenge, we come out of COVID, and I don't want to get off into another COVID conversation, but obviously that's been well versed that was a struggle coming out of it. So to regain our focus academically, and to not just regain our focus, but to come to the forefront academically in our area. And we've been able to accomplish that as of late. As I said, when we first started talking or what we were doing, and part of it is we're celebrating right now and telling our narrative about where we've come from. We've done a lot in a short amount of time. I would say we have at this point a collective set of master teachers that would be an envy to anybody. But again, we've got 21 teachers. So, you know, we're not dealing with thousands of teachers. So we have a microcosm, I guess, to say, you might call it, of teachers. But we have been able to recruit. And the way that we recruit and, you know, the challenge, that was the first challenge. And then the second challenge is, how do you make sure those master teachers have what they need to gain the academic attainment? So we're 5 years in. This is my fifth year here, and most of our employees, and from a leadership perspective, we've all been here 5 years. This is our fifth year. And so we have been able to finally acquire that talent and retain it. But again, the way that we've went about it, obviously the two things that drive those teachers and keeping them in your district is obviously there is, you know, financially, can you support them financially?
Mm-hmm.
And then the other biggie, obviously, is culture.
Mm-hmm.
And so we've been able to improve in both areas. The school board's been very supportive. I think last year, based off of a TASB survey, we believe we were the fourth highest paying 1A district in the state.
Nice.
And then this year we were able to extend that. And we believe, I don't know the answer right now, honestly, but I do quite frankly believe we're probably going to be number one or number two in the state in pay. For 1A district, that is.
Yeah, I get it. Yeah.
But, you know, so we've covered that ground, and then you work on the culture, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's where the real work and going back to servant leadership and, you know, growing us, mm-hmm. you know, as a servant leader, our focus is on the growth of our people and those around us. And so we began the challenge. You know, went collaboratively through the organizational change of creating our vision, our mission, and our beliefs together. And, you know, I mentioned some of those beliefs a while ago. Mm-hmm. And then we moved from that to strategic planning and creating a strategic plan. And why the strategic plan was important in this journey, I guess to say, is one of the things that is frustrating as a school leader is sustainability.
Mm-hmm.
You know the old saying, I've heard it since I was a kid, if you're a good leader, it doesn't matter whether you're there or not.
Right.
When you leave, it will sustain.
Mm-hmm.
And that is, that's a mouthful.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
To make, to accomplish that. But I think our way to do that is through strategic planning. And ultimately, we created through our strategic planning process what we call the Goodrich Way. And what the Goodrich Way boils down to is we've defined what we want, what we expect of ourselves. And first and foremost, we, you know, student and our envisioned student experience. What do we envision for our students? And then we move to a portrait of a graduate. What do we want to look like when they graduate? What's the portrait of an administrator in this district about expectations? And then we move to the portrait of an educator. And then so goes the story until we got to identify what systems we needed help with or what mm-hmm. areas, priorities. And we've done that. And now we're at development and implementation of those systems. So we're really trying to create systems. And in a small district, it's a unique situation. If you're in a Galveston ISD or a Houston ISD, these big districts, which I've worked in, we have well-established procedures, administrative guidelines, right. those things mm-hmm. exist. Mm-hmm. And these little districts, not so much.
Right.
So we're going to build that out. Mm-hmm. And that's where the sustainability, what we're trying to get to is sustainability, I guess to say. So you asked me a little short question and I gave you.
No, I love it. Well, and I think, you know, we've talked about servant leadership, but I think you brought up something that you also have, which is a vision as a leader. You have very clear vision for your team and where you want them to go and have given them the opportunity to get there, but also guide. You know, I think I see you guiding them with their, but you have a culture of support and a culture of people that want to be there. And, you know, you talked about you've attained them and you've equipped them and now they don't want to go because they love what you're doing. You've established that culture and it's a beautiful thing. And obviously it's going to show because you're talking about the retention that you have. I bet you're blowing those numbers out of the water when you compare to other districts, even just across the state of Texas. That's how we do it at Lighthouse. And so giving true leadership to your people and allowing them to be successful and trusting them. I always say trust, but verify, you know?
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah.
So awesome. So Daniel, yeah. If someone had a question about how you lead, where would they find Goodrich ISD and Daniel Barton? Where do they go?
Well, I mean, we're obviously available on the World Wide Web at goodrichisd.net.
Okay.
My email's there and be happy to answer any questions or continue a conversation. Again, as I said earlier, I think servant leadership is something that I really enjoy talking about. And again, it's a journey. Some people I'm sure were born servant leaders and then there were the rest of us. You can't have that perspective. It can't just happen right now. You have to make sure everybody's on the ship with you.
Right. Yeah, for sure. So one last question. So what one thing, if you could miraculously fix one thing in your world and of what you have and the things that you deal with in a day in and day out situation, what one thing would you want to fix?
I would want to fix the outside political pressures being brought upon education. No matter which side of the political agenda that a person's on or whatever party affiliation, I want my educators to be treated as public servants. That's what they are.
Mm-hmm.
And if you choose to be a public servant, be it a police officer, a fireman, a teacher, you're a special person and you should be treated that way and given consideration. And I understand that every public servant is not perfect. And some of them possibly the complete opposite, but they're the minority.
Right.
And what I want for my teachers is, and educators, I would love for that challenge to go away, because we are trying to share our narrative, but it's very difficult when political figures get involved in trying to control your narrative.
Yeah, that's a great answer. Great answer. Absolutely. Well, Daniel, it has been a pleasure to have this conversation with you. Thank you so much for your time. And thank you for being on Brighter Together, because we really are brighter together, aren't we?
Yes, we are.
Thanks again.
Thank you for having me.